Praise the Lord. Let's turn our Bibles to Acts chapter 1. Hallelujah. The Lord has given me a flooded me today with scriptures. And I'll be honest with you, I still don't know what he wants me to do with them. Amen. I still don't know what he wants me to do with them, but we'll see what he wants me to do. Acts chapter 1 and verse 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? I guess that's the human side again. Looking for something that, something in the flesh. Looking for that earthly kingdom. Hallelujah. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, precious Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus that your perfect will be fulfilled in us here today. Minister to our needs. Undergird us and strengthen us. Help us today in numerous ways, Lord God, we pray. We'll give you glory. We'll honor your name. In the precious and mighty name of our God, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. And he said unto them, it is not for you, well, I'm sorry, verse 8, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. When I first got saved, when people use this particular scripture, they always automatically attach to it that you receive power to have the power to witness. Am I right? But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. Now I'm going to separate power from witness. Because if you use the power, we always have to remember that when the disciples received the power of the Holy Ghost, and when they had received the baptism of the Holy Ghost in the upper room, they had already experienced 3.5 years of Jesus personally. And of course, naturally, they still were men that had problems, opinions, ideas, thoughts. But they had one thing that a disciple today does not have. They had a personal experience of 3.5 years with Christ. So it was pretty evident that it was probably maybe a bit easier for them to step out and begin to do the work that God had called them to do. Because they witnessed it. They experienced it. They seen it. They seen him multiply the loaves and the fishes. They seen him open blind eyes. They seen him do so many different wonders and signs and wonders and miracles. But of course, naturally, we ourselves have to make some type of preparation before we can see the full manifestation of the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm not relating it really to miracles today, but what I'm relating it to is deliverance. Deliverance. I think that the biggest struggle in the church that people have is deliverance. Some people don't even realize how bounded they are unless they get into the presence of God. They do not realize how bounded they are. They assume that what they need to be delivered from is just a part of their own personality. And of course, they have accepted that as being a part of their personality. But the scripture tells me, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. I think this kind of couples up with what we experienced in the conference. The Lord did not give us anything that we cannot use. I say that because you have people that are, of course, we have different sects of denominations that roam around and, of course, tell people that the Holy Ghost is not for today. And that we need to understand the Word of God. Well, you don't really have a great insight or understanding of the Word of God without the Holy Ghost. And you really can't really decipher what the Lord wants to do in your life unless you have that spiritual experience that's needed. And the church today, I believe, really needs power. But I believe that we need power to control our lives. Power. Really to be able to have control over our lives. And I believe, this has always been one of my pet peeves. I've always believed. Here's what I really believe. I really be honest with you. I believe that everyone knows how I feel about legalism. But even though I do strongly believe in a disciplined life. I believe a discipline is important. I really believe that discipline is important. I believe that discipline when people see discipline in your life, they see that you have control. They see that you are a better witness. Discipline. And I'm talking about in areas of your life, discipline. And all types of habits, whatever it might be. Don't get me wrong, we all have our weaknesses. And we all have things that we need desperately to work upon. And we need to concentrate on these things and realize that God has given us power to overcome these things. This is all, to me, a part of being the Son of God. Because, you know, the Lord said everything will be under his feet. Well, if everything is supposed to be under his feet, that means everything that comes against our life is supposed to be under our foot. Now, but, of course, naturally, we have to be able to recognize our position on the battlefield and what battlefield we're fighting. We have to be able to recognize that. And we have to be able to be able to fight it. And that's where the power of the Holy Ghost is important. Because people need to see people with disciplined lives. When I say discipline, I'm not talking about just structure. And I'm not talking about rigid. I'm talking about a power of using control and realizing that I guess the question is this: is the way I conduct my life every day, is it really pleasing to God? It might be pleasing to me. Might be the way I want to live it. But is it really pleasing to God? See, I think that's where we get caught up at. First of all, I think the biggest thing with the human mechanism is, the human thinking is that we have come to a place that we have, how should I put it? We have found a place in our makeup that our vanity is important. The emptiness of our lives are important. You can satisfy your emptiness. I can satisfy my emptiness. And everybody can satisfy their own position of emptiness. But is God satisfied with your emptiness? Is God satisfied with your emptiness? Is he satisfied with the emptiness, or the vanity, I should say? Not emptiness, but the vanity, which is emptiness, which leads to emptiness in your life. My wife might be satisfied with my vanity. I might be satisfied with her vanity. I might not be satisfied with her vanity. We might not be satisfied with each other's vanity, but we can find a place in our own lives to be satisfied in our own vanity. And now, when I take that and I take it out and I place it before the presence of God, then all of a sudden the Lord begins to reveal himself and speak back to me and show us the emptiness of our vanity that we have secured for so long. Huh? We don't look at it as something, we don't look at our vanity as something that works against us. How does it work against us? It works against us physically, it works against us spiritually, and it works against us mentally. It's defeating. Because the Lord gave us power to change. He gave us power to change. You know, sometimes people think, well, the Lord gave us power so we can be in his presence. Of course he gave us power to be in his presence. He wants us to experience him. But let me ask you a question. Do we believe that the kingdom of God is disorganized? If it was, he couldn't have defeated the devil. Because even the devil's kingdom is organized. very well organized. Huh? But he doesn't have to do a lot, and he doesn't have to do a lot of organization to disorientate us. Am I right? So it tells us that humanity is a spoiled breed, more or less, right? The Lord's given us a kingdom, and we have just done with it like we want to do with it. And we can see, we see around us in the world today, the way, in the conditions of the world, the way it is, right? Thank the Lord that the Lord showed in this world that mankind will not destroy the earth. But we're working hard to do it. We're doing our best to do it. And if the Lord had never spoke that, we probably would have. But the devil was saying, the devil was probably saying, well, you know, you should have gave it to me anyway. But he destroyed everything he touched too. I do believe, and no one can tell me, that God does not want saints to have control of their lives. And I'm talking about in every area. I'm talking about the way you dress, what you eat, what you think, what you read, the way your house looks. I'm hitting home. I'm hitting my house too. I believe that. I believe that the Lord, because I've learned that order, when you have order, you have a greater sense of concentration. You can attack better when you're in order. Praise God. Hallelujah. You have power when you're in order. The worst thing you can do is take a group of soldiers, or take a battalion of soldiers out there, and they're straggling all around, their helmets all framed, and you know what I'm trying to say? Oh my goodness, what is going on here? We're going to fight a battle? No. No. You fought it with structure, and you fought it with order. Because God wants us to have order. Order. His kingdom is orderly. What happened on the first day of creation? The first day of creation, the first thing the Lord did was clean up the mess. Put it in order. Amen. Because he could not work in disarray. God cannot work in disarray. And so the first thing he gave the church was the Holy Ghost, that the Holy Ghost might empower us to put our lives in order. Amen. In order. Now, we can preach this 1,000 times. We can talk about it 1,000 times. But my thing is, when are we that have the Holy Ghost really want to catch on? When are we really going to catch on to what God's trying to tell us? I'm telling you what, this is the core of a lot of our problems. The core of a lot of our problems is that we have accepted the disarray. God will not accept the disarray if he's given you his spirit. He will not accept the disarray if he's given you his spirit. He expects us to take the work, he expects us to take the spirit of God and to work within our lives. He expects us to be successful, because can't nothing conquer and overtake the power of his spirit. So he wants to put us back together. Amen. He wants to put us into a situation that we've never been before. I mean, I know we live around the world, let's face it, some people in the world have so much order, they can't find God. They have so much order, they can't find God. But it shows you something, that even though they cannot find, and the reason why they cannot find God, because they they feel as though the order in their life is good enough for their life. And but I'm gonna tell you one thing: it has brought them a certain amount of success. Because whatsoever man soweth, that's what he shall also reap. It had brought them a certain amount of success. Now, people think we can come into church, and just because we come into church, we got the Holy Ghost, got baptized in Jesus' name, we can just let our hair down. No, it's time to roll up our sleeves and realize that God desires for us to be different than what he has made us. You know, I'm thinking about all the different settings that people and the mask that people would like to put on the apostolic church today. It is supposed to be a church of continuity. A church of continuity. Praise God. I'm not changing. I'm not trying to be persuaded. You know, I'm not going through all that. Because I realize that order, God has an order. God has developed a position of order. And sometimes I know in our lives that we trip over the cord of order. I do. I know I do. I mean, I'm preaching. Listen, don't get me wrong. I'm preaching to the choir. But I realize that the importance of order is so vitally important in our lives because it makes a difference on how we conduct our lives and how much God has the liberty to move and do different things in our life. You know, the one of the worst things to do is have a problem and try to clean up the mess before you deal with the problem. Ain't that a mess? You're trying to clean the mess up before you deal with the problem. Now, I don't want to clean the mess up before I deal with the problem. I want to be ready to step in and to step right up into the problem face and say, in Jesus' name, I rebuke you. I take authority over you. Now, I really believe in all my heart and all my soul that, and you know, I hear different things that people tell me about things in the States and thing in churches and in our churches. I mean, there are some terrible things that are happening in the apostolic churches. People sitting on pews that are supposed to be living for God and they ain't got no inkling. I mean, because their lives are out of order. You know, when your life is out of order, it's no different whether you live in the kingdom of God, whether you're in church, or whether you're in the world. No different. And their lives are so out of order. They misconduct their lives. They say the wrong things. They act the wrong things. They do everything in the wrong way because they're not looking for the change that the power of the Holy Ghost is designed to bring in a person's life. See, when I got saved, I was looking for change. God could not use me the way I was. I was unusable the way I was. And I believe that even though we've grown some steps, we still have some things in our life that God cannot use. We have things in our life that God cannot use. He cannot use it. He doesn't want them to be there. He wants us to have victory and power over it and to change the circumstances of it. That he might do what? Give us more power. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. And verse 1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Am I right? And then when you drop down to verse 5, and these 12 Jesus sent forth, commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and not into the city of Samaria, enter ye not. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So they had instructions, right? They were not supposed to go to any Gentiles nor any Samaritans. They were supposed to go and preach to the lost sheep of Israel. And then he continued on in instructions. He said, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely you give. Provide neither gold, nor silver, nor brass in your purses. Now, he said, don't take no money with you. Take no money with you. None at all. He said, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staffs, for the workman is worthy of his meat. Oh, man. Hallelujah. So the Lord told him, said, listen, here's what I want y'all to do. Now I'm going to prove the real proof of your pudding. I'm going to put this miraculous power in your hands. And I don't want you to take anything of the flesh with you. Amen. Don't take nothing of the flesh. You don't take no shoes. You don't take no money. You don't take no coat. You don't take anything. Amen. And now the proof of the power that I've given you will bring you what you need. Amen. What I've given you will give you what you need. Oh, man, the ministry would have a lot to say about that today. Am I right? Huh? Now, here's the significant thing about it. At this particular time, when the Lord endowed them with power, they did not have the power of the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God was not endowed within them. They were in the flesh. And so the Lord said, here you go. Now, the Lord didn't just tell them to go out there and pray for the sick. He said, raise the dead. He said, cast out devils. Now, how, if he meant that for the disciples at that particular time, and they didn't even have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, how much more does he mean it for today? How more powerful it is today, because we have the Spirit of God that dwells in us. Amen? So don't take that gold with you. Don't take that brass. Don't take that silver you want to take. Take the real proof of your pudding and see if you can get yourself a meal and somewhere to eat. See if somebody put a coat on your back, put a roof over your head for the night. Am I right? The Lord really hemmed them up. Now here, I gave you the power. Let's see what you can do with it. We'll see how well you can work with that. Amen. He told them how to enter in the houses and how to salute them and how to leave them and everything. And if it wasn't right at the end, if the city wasn't right, they would receive a worse condemnation than Sodom and Gomorrah. My goodness, man, that was pretty powerful. And they didn't even have the Holy Ghost yet. They didn't even have it. Praise God. Didn't provide nothing in the flesh. Help us, Lord. Am I right? Help us, Lord. I know some people, hey, we got a PMI program. Send a missionary out. Everybody put together. pay his way, take care of his family, do everything. I'm not saying we shouldn't have it. Amen. As far as I'm concerned, it's supposed to be from production. Am I right? There's supposed to be some spiritual production. If you're really called by God, it will be. Amen. Hallelujah. I had a problem with some preachers that thought that it, some younger preachers today that thought it was important that they would get some type of logistical and financial support. I'm thinking, well, that's nice, but I don't know if you produced from that. I didn't get none. I worked all these years and served God too. 75% of the apostolic preachers in America work a job. Amen. So you gonna tell me because if I give you $2,000 or $3,000 a month, put some cash in your pocket, you're gonna fill up a church? I don't believe so. I don't believe that's gonna happen. I don't believe it's a bad thing. But I don't believe it's going to happen. I don't believe it's going to happen because you have to be worthy of what you're doing. You got to take what God's giving you and trust Him and go forward with it and build from there. Amen. God will open up the doors. The Lord will open up the doors. I mean, look at y'all. Huh? You think you like getting up going to that office every morning? Praise God. But you know that's, you have to do it. It's important. It's imperative. And so I believe nothing from nothing leaves nothing. So don't give everybody easy, you know. Of course, naturally, it might give someone more incentive to do more. But incentive, you know, if it's the wrong type of incentive, it can die very easily. So, you know, I realized that the Lord did not give the disciples anything in the flesh. All He gave them was the power of heaven. Go forth and see if you can get you a meal with that. Hallelujah. Go ahead and see what you can do. See if you can pay the rent with that one. Hallelujah. I thank God for the word. That's the important thing about understanding the position of the Word of God and what God would have us to do. We say that we want the real and the fullness of what the Lord has to offer. But we're so trapped in a microwave society and in our microwave generation that we don't think about I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't want to go back to horse and buggies. I enjoy driving my car. Now that, I wouldn't know how to deal with a horse and buggy anyway because I never had one. You know? See, you know, we're not trying to pull back the position of progress, but we're trying to get the full potential of the Word of God. Am I right? In a modern day society, we need the full potential of the Word of God. That's what we need. The full potential of what the Word of God will give us now. So it's some things in our flesh and in our human makeup that we've got to put on the side. And we've got to be able to get rid of. We've got to put our lives in order. We've got to realize that God is a provider. He will provide. He's given us the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And all the things that the Spirit of God has in it. Amen. He just didn't give them the power. He gave us the power. Let's turn to Mark chapter 16. Verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. I love that scripture. I love when somebody thinks, well, you know, I don't have to be baptized. You got to be baptized. I take that one scripture right there. You got to be baptized. You got to be baptized. Hallelujah. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Well, why shall he be damned who believeth not? Probably because he won't be baptized. Amen. What I mean by that? You know what I mean by that? There's a lot of people out here that believe in God and just believe that they don't have to go through what you went through to get saved. That makes sense? I don't have to go through all that. They don't have to apply, they don't believe they have to apply the blood. They don't believe all that. They don't think they have to do all that. And of course, this is the trap that the devil traps people in, because he knows that if they're not washed in that blood, that a fire of eternity is their home. And these signs, now I want you to listen to this. These signs shall follow them that believe. So now I want you to think about this, y'all. The signs follow the believer. So the believers shouldn't have to follow signs. Now, who's the believer? You. 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 Not the ministry. Amen. Not the ministry. You're the believer. In my name they shall what? Who? The ministry? The believer. The believer has power. The real believer has real power. Amen. Don't have to call a preacher to cast out a devil. You don't have to call a preacher to cast out a devil. This is a thinking that has been robbed from the people of God, that needs to be placed back in the hands of the people of God. Amen. It says, these signs shall follow them that believe. The only thing today that some people believe that sign that follows a believer is speaking in tongues. How limited can we become? How limited can we become? Am I right? Some people just emphasize, well, I got the Holy Ghost. I speak with other tongues. Okay, I do too. And when devils come up to the altar, people run. People with the Holy Ghost, devils come to the altar and people run. Oh, he's got something. Oh, no. Get the kids out. I mean, don't get me wrong. I ain't got nothing against that. If the kids ain't got the Holy Ghost, get them, move them out. Praise God, move them out. But since you're the believer, you need to come back. Hallelujah. You need to come on back. So believers are afraid of devils. I've heard it. I've seen it. I heard people tell me, well, you know, I'm just afraid that the devil might hear my prayer. I don't care if the devil hears my prayer. He can't stop me from praying. He can get all entwined with me while I'm praying. And I rebuke him in Jesus' name and take authority over him and still reach up into heaven and pull down what God had for me. Because he can't stop me. Because you know why? I'm a believer. Not because I'm a preacher. I'm a believer. Gotta unravel things. Unravel the things, these things that have been created through our traditionalism. That's why the church, that's why we're not seeing what we should be seeing. Because we ain't got enough people walking around here with enough Holy Ghost boldness to say, in Jesus' name, I rebuke you. I take authority over you, Satan. Huh? Folks be looking, thinking, man, if somebody, listen, even people see something like that, they think, this guy done went crazy. This guy has went off. No, he ain't went off. Not if he's empowered by the Holy Ghost. Amen. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Now, listen, y'all. They shall take up serpents. Now, I am not talking about a physical serpent in this situation. I don't play with snakes. What do you mean they take up serpents? Any situation that Satan brings to a child of God, we should be able to tell him, bring it on, Satan. Come on. That's what I want you to do. Because I got some blood over here that when I still get finished smearing this blood, it's going to be an ugly sight. Hallelujah. If you take up serpents, in other words, don't be afraid of the power of darkness. There's too many people that have the Holy Ghost that are afraid of the power of darkness. God has empowered you. The blood of Jesus Christ has been applied to your life. Now I'm going to tell you something. I can understand if a person has been filled with the Holy Ghost and was afraid of a devil. And the only reason why I believe it is because if he has not been baptized in Jesus' name, he has not been applied with the blood. He does not feel the full impact of the power of the Spirit of God. He does not, it's just like a charismatic. A charismatic does not recognize his spiritual condition to one God. It's not collective. You know, he might pray to the Holy Ghost one minute, pray to the Father another minute, pray over here, pray over here. So the Bible tells me that God's not the author of confusion. Amen. And a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways, don't believe he can receive anything from God. So the devil will run him all around the building. Amen. So the worst thing we can have today is a bunch of mealy-mouthed apostolics that are afraid of the powers of darkness. We don't need to be afraid of the powers of darkness. Don't get me wrong. In the flesh, if the power of darkness comes against you, it will startle you. But in the mind, once I get myself together, hold on, devil. Hold on. Let's get this going. Hold it. Come on back. Don't run now. Don't run now. Don't run now. No, it's too late now. Let's bring it on. I got something for you. See, once the devil knows that we take that type of stand and that type of attitude, he knows he cannot stop us. He knows that we're unstoppable. But as long as he believes, as long as he knows that the church believes that the only one that can do that is the preacher, he got the church. Only he can do it. Man, no wonder I'm getting beat up. No wonder he pounded me and beat me, kicking me around like a ball. No wonder this part is falling off one day and the next part falls off another day. Am I right? Huh? No wonder you be thinking, oh my goodness. It's not because of y'all. It's because we have been taught that type of thinking. And the scripture tells me, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Well, don't get me wrong now. I ain't going around getting a glass of arsenic and drinking it. I'm not tempting God. That's foolishness. Amen? That's foolishness. You know, I wouldn't go down in the middle of downtown Kaiserslautern on Christmas and take glue vine with to put arsenic in it and tell everybody, watch me drink it. I'm going to live forever. Oh, no. That wouldn't be wise. The Lord never, but he said, if you drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt you. Now, you know, I'll be honest with you. I believe that sometimes some of the things that the doctors pumped up in us was designed to kill us all the time. They didn't know it was designed to kill us, but the devil was trying to kill us. And by the grace of God and the position of that scripture, that it never worked. Am I right? It's by the position of that scripture, it never worked, because that boy would have killed us. Sure enough, he would have killed us. Huh? It was by God's grace. I've heard a lot of saints say, man, you know, I took that, and I was going through all kinds of things was happening. And he was praying, and once that pill or whatever they were taking got away, things began to come collectively. Because the devil knows the power of the word of God. The devil knows the power of the word. And if they lay hands on the and they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. It didn't say they might recover. Maybe. Oh, I tell you what, here's what we do, Brother Cam. When one of the kids gets sick, you can't pray for them, because they might not make it. We're going to let Sister Cam pray. Well, you know how that is, you know. See? You know? Lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Praise God. Amen. Emmanuel came to me last night, and he was sniffling and blowing, and I can't breathe. I said, well, here, let me put this in your nose here. I said, hold it, but you can't go like this. Pulled out the oil in Jesus' name. My goodness, 5 minutes later, boy was snoring. Am I right? 5 minutes later, boy was knocked out. Hallelujah. The power of my God. The power of our God. Hallelujah. Amen. Lay hands on sick, they shall recover. They shall recover. They shall recover. Y'all, do y'all hear that? I want y'all young ones to hear that. Do y'all realize that? If you got the Holy Ghost, you've been baptized in Jesus' name. If you lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. Don't call me. Don't call me. In Jesus' name. You got the power. God's giving you the same power. Don't be timid. Don't be ashamed. Praise God. Don't nobody tell me you're going to be a missionary's wife, a preacher's wife, Lay hands on the sick. Start laying right now, and they shall recover. Amen. You're a child of God. You're a child of God. Remember, you are a child of God. God has empowered you. He said, when the Holy Ghost comes, you shall receive power. Amen. So we got to take this thing off, and I'm tired of where the whole brunt of it is. We've laid it upon the backs of the ministry. No, it's the whole church. It's the entire church. Hallelujah. If you don't feel as though you're empowered to do these things, you know what you need to do? You need to pray through. You need to pray long enough till God convinces you that you have the power that He said He gave you. Because if you're not convinced that you have the power that God says you give it, that God says you have, then you might be in a dangerous spiritual condition. See, when the Lord gave out the Holy Ghost, He gave out the whole package. Everything that went with it. See, that's why I marvel about the Holy Ghost. I say, man, I got the creative power of God's Spirit in this no good, broken down, tore up body. And God releases Himself from me. Now I know I ain't much to look at. Probably to God either. The Lord probably said, oh man, this poor man. But when you think about it though, that's what God did. When He gave His Spirit, He gave us the whole entire package. He didn't give you part of it. He didn't give you a piece. He didn't give her a piece. You know, I ain't giving you all of that. No, it's all part of the package. Amen. I don't like her. She walk funny. You know, I want you to understand, sir, this is the thinking of humanity. And this is how men think. And as long as we think sometimes like men think, we won't think as sons and daughters of God. And so since we won't think as sons and daughters of God, we won't act like sons and daughters of God. We won't act like we've got the power. We won't act like we can make a difference. You can make a difference. Amen? You can make a difference. Just by knowing what you got. Sometimes we can't make a difference because we're afraid that we might... People might laugh at me. I don't care if they laugh. A guy laughed at me years ago out there in the middle of downtown Stuttgart. He laughed at me. He had a migraine headache. I reached my hand over and prayed for him in Jesus' name. And he was laughing after that because he said, my goodness, it's gone. Only because I believed in what God had given me, and I believed in the fullness of the power of the Word of God. Not because I wasn't a preacher then. Lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. Amen. You got the power. You ain't got to be afraid to, you know, you ain't got to be. Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, you know, when you're dealing with devils, you got to be careful. So maybe before you handle something, maybe you need to get away from the table for a little while. Kill that flesh. Amen? Because that flesh incorporates fear real quick. That flesh incorporates fear real quick. I remember the first time I ever seen devils cast out. I tell you what, if I was in the flesh, I probably would never have came back to an apostolic church. Because I thought, man, this thing is free. I mean, I thought this is real. This is the real stuff. But I was so overtaken by the power of God. I thought, man, the Lord is powerful. I mean, there was so much power in that place. And my flesh was in there too. And I thought, oh Lord. In my mind, I thought that. But you know what? What made the difference was I had fasted for 3 days. I wasn't afraid of the devil. But the devil sure come. He knows. He knows that their flesh is subject to their flesh is subject to fear and to weakness. You're not, listen, the devil just figures like this. You're not just gonna throw me out in the street. He tried that with Jesus. He said, well, you know, if you're gonna throw me out, at least you can let me live somewhere else. Huh? But the devil didn't realize one thing. If there wasn't a herd of swine over there, he was gonna have to leave anyway. Why did I say this? Well, let me tell you something. When a church is dealing with the position of revival, you're going to see all types of people that walk in. They're going to be bounded, possessed, all kinds of things. They'll walk right in. They'll sit down. They'll even sound good until you start praying for them, and then you see all kinds of movements, you know, quirks and things like that. And you know how we are. Once something starts moving funny, quirking funny, Brother Gray! Amen. Hallelujah. Let me tell you another thing, too. When you see someone that you feel as though is bound or demon possessed or whatever, don't pour oil out and lay hands on them. Is that all right? I thought I'd throw that in for free. Don't pour oil out and lay hands on them. Oil won't make a difference. Pray. Exercise the power of your voice through the blood of Jesus Christ. And let that devil know that he cannot have the soul that's within that individual. Amen. Let me tell you something. You don't even have to be in front of the person. I'm telling you something. I want you to hear what I'm saying. You have the power to do it for your loved ones, right from where you are. Sometimes we don't take our command in our prayer time and using the utilizing of angels. I send angels to people's houses. I'm serious. I send angels to people. I said, Lord, send an angel. I bind the spirits that come against that person in Jesus' name. I don't care if they're 3 or 6,000 miles away. I bind that spirit in Jesus' name. If I can recognize the spirit, I can utilize the power to bind it. Bam. And then after I bind the spirit, I say, Lord, send an angel to minister to him. See, we have to use the power that the Lord has given us in the realm of the spirit. It does not do you any good in the flesh. You see, it doesn't do you any good in the flesh. You know, you can have a knowledge of it, but what's the knowledge of it if it's not happening? See? You know, I had a situation years ago, and it was my own uncle. He died, of course, he died of cancer, pancreas cancer. And I never forget the night that he called me and I talked to him. Me and my wife and us, we had just come back from church, right? Remember that? And I think he called me or I called him. But we was talking on the telephone. And this poor guy was, emotionally, he was just a basket case. And we were there at home. We had just got back from church. We had several saints with us. And after I talked to him, I told him, I said, you know, I knew he had been, unfortunately, he had been a Jehovah's Witness for all these years. And I told him, I said, listen, let me tell you something. The Lord has the power to raise you up right now. And he listened to me. He heard me. And he kept going. He kept rattling. And I realized that he was just overtaken by all the things that were taking place. And so I could not, you know, he was, and of course, naturally, you know, when you deal with people that believe in these types of religions like Jehovah's Witness, and they're not people of prayer. People don't realize they are not people. They do not pray. They do not understand prayer. They do not understand prayer. And so he's just, in his mind, he's just confused, a basket case at this particular time. And so I told him, I said, listen, when I hang up the telephone, we're going to pray for you. And we're going to see what the Lord does. Unfortunately, he died. But here's what happened. And this is what really got my attention. It was three or four of us there. And we had one brother. Brother Hannah. He was on the couch. And he had been somewhere. And he was... you remember Brother Hannah, don't you? And Brother Hannah was laying on the couch. And he was tired. And he was knocked out. He was... Oh! So I went in the kitchen, got my wife, got the other two or three brothers and sisters that were there, and I said, let's pray. And so she said, well, no, leave Brother Hannah. He's out. He's gone. And we began to pray. And we started praying and hallelujah, calling the name of Jesus. I don't know if we woke up the whole, well, it wasn't that late, but we might have stirred up the street. I don't know, but we called on the name of Jesus. And then we finished praying, and we collected ourselves, and we got ourselves together, and we finally got ready to sit down to our meal. And of course, naturally, we had to wake Brother Hannah up to eat. So we woke Brother Hannah up. When Brother Hannah woke up, he woke up in a sweat. He said, Brother, he said, I don't know what happened, but I seen a dream and a vision while I was sleeping. Then I seen this lightning come and it left here, and it went all the way across America. Remember that? And it fell right on the East Coast. And I said, praise God. The power of prayer. The power of prayer. The power of prayer. I just believe that whatever took place, he was not in the ability to receive it. See, this is the problem with false doctrines and false things. It's not that God is not out attempting to touch people and to reach people. Just like I felt the same way about our brother-in-law's mother. And the other day I was praying for her, and I said, Lord, just, I mean, you know, everything's failing, and they're trying another therapy on her, you know, and, you know, just life is eluding her, and she's in a lot of pain. And I just thought, well, Lord, you know, I just started pleading the blood, praying, binding the spirits of fear. The tormenting. See, the torment is where he destroys you. The torment is where he destroys you. He knows that he doesn't know what the flesh will do. He doesn't even know whether the flesh will come back and heal. He doesn't know. But the torment of your mind will kill you by itself. And the devil knows that. He knows that. And he'll raise the flame of torment against you to the point it's totally unbearable. To it's totally unbearable. And this is the important part about what we received at the conference. because we went to a level of spiritual faith and height that even though he raised that flame, we're still above that flame. And whatever God has given us in that conference, we can come down and smother that flame. Hallelujah. We can smother that flame. But that's where he tries to get it, right there. Get that mind. He doesn't know what will take place actually in the physical realm. He doesn't really know what takes place. But he knows if he can destroy your position. Listen, let me tell you something. It shows you the power that we were created in the image and likeness of God. And what I'm going to say here is this. There are some people in the world, and you've seen it, and I've seen it, and we read about it. Let's use an example. Let's say a man like Lance Armstrong. Here is cancer about to wipe his life out. He had already won Tour de France, and here's cancer coming against him to wipe his life out. This man is not baptized in Jesus' name, has nothing to do with the Holy Ghost. But he fights the cancer. Not just physically, mentally. He wins the battle, comes back, wins another Tour de France, wins two more Tour de Frances. Still today, cancer-free, talking about coming back for 2009. And doing it again. Now let me tell you something. If someone could do that in the flesh, how much more can we do in the realm of God's Spirit? It shows us that we were made to the image and likeness of God, and that we have inner power within us that the devil even cannot put his finger upon. But now, if we allow the Spirit of God to wake up that inner power within us, oh my. Let's stand, y'all. Let's stand. Brother Greg, just getting warm. But our kids got to go home. They got to get some sleep. And Sister Jones got to go to work in the morning. Early. And your husband said you're walking. He didn't tell you that. He told me that. He ain't going to let you walk. Not 4:30 in the morning. 4:30 in the evening, he'll let you walk, but not 4:30 in the morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Listen, y'all. You believe what the Word of God has told us today? Now, what's the next thing? Don't forget it. Don't forget. See, that's the problem with the church today. The church listens to a message, receives it, goes out and forgets it. Don't forget. Don't forget it. Don't forget. You've got a much more power than you think you do. But the first thing, but what makes it ineffective that you can use it the way you want to use it or way God would have you to use it is organize your life. Put it together. Tighten it up. Make it flow. Perfect it will never be. Better it can be. In some cases, much better. My case, I think much better. I'm just being honest. Much better. Much better. Amen. Hallelujah. Brother Jones, close it out in prayer.